Just being confident and trusting my horse, you know, like there's been times when he's like, well, you're doing too much. Just do what you always do. Just relax. Don't use your hands and don't do this. Just trust him, relax, and like set it up right. Because I feel like sometimes I like know what I need to do and I get kind of like doing too much where I just need to relax and just put the horse in the right scenario and trust him and do the right thing. And then it works out better.
You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to The Ride, a podcast brought to you by Horse and Rider Magazine, hosted by Nicole Cherico and Emily Carey.
This episode of The Ride is brought to you by Ride TV. You're going to want to watch Horse and Rider's videos on Ride TV. Watch carefully curated playlists for a variety of Western disciplines, including topics about gear, drills, mental strategies, and more. Our playlists are here for you to use to troubleshoot, progress in your goals, and improve your horsemanship. Plus, binge hundreds of hours of archived live streams, including the NRHA Derby, Mustang Challenge, RSMC Ranch Sorting World Finals, and more. Use promo code The Ride for 15% off your first month at RideTVGo.tv today.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Ride. I'm your co-host Emily Carey, and today I'm very excited to welcome a special guest, Ms. Tuli Dowers. Tuli recently had an incredible show at the NRCHA Snaffle Biff Futurity, taking home the big win in the non-pro boxing aboard the Rizzler, a horse trained by her dad, Nick Dowers. We're going to talk all about what that experience was like, how she ended up riding the Rizzler, and what it was like growing up, learning from one of the best in the business, and what's next for Tuli. So let's jump right in it. Tuli, welcome to The Ride.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Tuli, for listeners who may not be too familiar with you yet, can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background with horses?
Yeah, sure. So my dad is Nick Dowers. He's a little popular in the horse training business. And so, yeah, I just grew up riding and I just started showing the last couple of years and it's been fun. It's been good.
Just a little popular.
So my dad has a following.
Yeah. So obviously you grew up surrounded by horses. You know, your dad is such a respected trainer. What are some of your earliest memories, you know, being in the barn or riding? What was that like?
I wasn't as into it as my brother. Like, I rode a little bit and I had fun. And there was this one time I couldn't get my horse to do anything. I was just sitting in the arena. It's pouring rain and I'm crying. I was like 4 or 5 and I couldn't get my horse to do anything. I'm like crying for my dad's help because it's raining. That's a big memory I have. I couldn't get that old horse to do anything. But yeah, I just grew up riding like so often, you know. I didn't start riding seriously until I was like 11 or 12. And then I just started riding more and more and starting to compete. It's been fun.
Yeah. Was there something that kind of like, you know, a lot of us grew up, we were, you know, crazy horse girls and just couldn't get out of the barn. Was there kind of that like aha moment? Like, this is kind of, you know, what I want to do. I want to spend more time in the barn and just be on the back of a horse all the time.
I think it kind of built over time. Like this one show in particular really made a difference. My dad let me cool out his good bridle horse, which over time he just turned into my bridle horse because I kind of begged to ride him all the time. And so that was really cool. Like, he was the first horse I've ever shown. I still show him today. Like, he's a fantastic horse. And so it was really cool. Like, I got to cool him out for the first time, and it was so scary. You know, he's like at the top of his game right now and I get to cool him out. So I thought that was really cool. And he just won the Bridal Spectacular at the Derby in Scottsdale. So that was really cool. And then I just started riding him more and more at home. And then I showed him a couple years later, and then we've just had more and more success together. And it's been really fun.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, showing over the years. What was kind of your first real taste of competition like? Was there a moment that you, like, at the shows, obviously you just talked about that special moment, but when were you really like, this is it. I'm in it. I'm getting serious. going to step into the training shoes.
Yeah, that was probably when I showed that bay horse I'm talking about, the bridle horse, in 2022. Let me make sure it was 22. I think it was 2022. Maybe it was 2023. One of those years I showed him in the youth class, and it was terrible. Like, I wouldn't say I wasn't ready, but he's such a good horse that he knows his job. So he was a little strong for me. And so it didn't really go that good, but I was so mad. I wanted to do good. And so then it just kind of lit that fire, I think. And then I started showing more and riding more horses and all the things.
Yeah, and you were so young. You're 18, 19, you're so young, and you've already had such incredible success. Now, obviously, your dad is so well-known for his horsemanship and for starting the colts and all that. What are some of the lessons that you've learned from him that have really stuck with you in the training? And
I'd say, like, just being confident and trusting my horse, you know, like, there's been times when he's like, well, you're doing too much. Just do what you always do. Just relax. Don't use your hands and don't do this. Just trust him, relax, and, like, set it up right. Because I feel like sometimes I, like, know what I need to do and I get kind of, like, doing too much where I just need to relax and just put the horse in the right scenario and trust him and do the right thing, and then it works out better.
Yeah, I feel like we've talked to a lot of people and they're just like, we just need to get out of our own heads. We think we're thinking too much, we're doing too much, and the horse, we have to trust the horse. The horse knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, sure. Talking a little bit more about training, do you train a lot of the horses that you show?
I ride them most of the time. Yes, like my derby horse, I ride him. If I were going to show, I ride him like the couple weeks or months before I'm going to show him, because we want to get used to each other and stuff. But typically, yeah, we all ride our own horses. Like my brother rides his, and then my dad rides his, obviously. But if we have trouble or something, my dad obviously gives us lessons and helps us. But usually we ride our own horses because my dad wants us to prepare our own horses and live with the consequences if we're not ready to show or mess up in the show pen, or, you know what I mean? Yeah, so that's what we do around here.
Pushing you off the deep end.
Yeah, a little bit. Like at horse shows, we're like, Dad, you're not even helping us. He's like, yeah, but you know what you're doing. And if I help you too much, I'm like babysitting you, and I want you guys to do it, you know, if that makes sense. That's what
his mind is. It's like, you guys are going to be responsible for your own horses, and
yeah,
love it.
You should prepare them yourself and stuff. But he obviously helps us.
I love it. And
He definitely helps us. He's not like leaving us alone, but he lets us make mistakes and figure it out because he wants us to do that and make our own mistakes and have our own successes. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Definitely, you know, helps you guys to learn. And yeah. So now let's talk a little bit about the Snaffle of Maturity, the topic that's on everybody's mind still. Congratulations on, you know, the non-pro boxing win. That's awesome. Yeah, and can you walk us a little bit walk us through what that week was like? Because it seems like a crazy week for you.
It was seriously so crazy. I don't even know. We get there and I'm like not planning to show or anything. I'm just going to help Riz get to the open finals. That's what my plan was. And so the reigning went great, like freak high score. He marked 22 and a half. And so then we're like, yeah, that's great. And then the hard work next day, a couple days, and he's doing great, you know, and then he loses a cow and we're just heartbroken. Like, we don't even know what to think. And so it took a little bit to like accept it. Like, we were kind of bummed because that horse is so cool. Like, you could just look at him and be like, he's a freak. Like, he's one of the most athletic, most naturally built for the cow horse. Like, he's just so good. And so the next day, my dad's friend Casey Bierroth was like, hey, well, when is that non-pro start? Like, my brother's at home, but we could fly him in because he's rode Riz quite a bit. And so we're like, well, Crew could show him. And then we're like, well, he's not going to want to do that with homecoming this week and all this stuff. And then we're like, well, Tuli could show him in the boxing. But I hadn't ridden him that much. And so we saddled him and worked the flag, and it went good. And then we had till noon to enter that day. So we entered and then showed him in the raining the next morning at 8 a.m. -2 or -1 second out. It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't supposed to ride him.
No.
And there you go. And it obviously clearly worked out. Because you hadn't really ridden him much at home either.
No.
Like, so it was all just jumping right into it.
Like, I've trotted him and I kind of had a feel for him. Like, I knew he was super gentle and not steady at all. Like, I knew his personality just by being around him a lot and trotting him. So I wasn't scared in that aspect. It was just kind of like, okay, this is for real. We got to go do this, you know?
What was going through your mind, you know, initially thinking maybe your brother, maybe not. And then, hey, Tuli, here's the reins.
I was like,
oh. I can't imagine the mental game that you must have gone through.
Yeah, like, it wasn't that hard in the beginning. Like, I was just kind of like, I'm excited. Let's try it. Like, why not? We have nothing to lose, you know? And then once we got through the raining and we got through the hard work and we made it to the finals, that's when the pressure, like, kind of hit. Like, going into the boxing finals, I was kind of, I wasn't really stressed out, but I was very nervous because I knew I had the lead and I knew that I just needed to hold my cow and mark decent. I didn't have to be big. So it was, mentally, that was really tough. Like, my dad was like, you're different today. Snap out of it. Like, wake up. Let's go do this. Go win. Let's go. And I'm like, I'm trying. But it was kind of hard mentally for the finals.
Yeah, I bet. You know, obviously such a heartbreak at the beginning of the week to then all that pressure sitting on you. But it must have felt pretty good, you know, getting that high score, walking out, seeing your name at the top of the leaderboard and knowing you can breathe now.
Yeah, it was definitely relieving, like, after the hard work and the raining, because, you know, the raining's all on me. Like, I gotta ask him to change leads in the right time and ask him to turn and hold him and all the things. So the raining was a lot of pressure, but I was really excited for the raining because I liked the raining part. And the hard work, since he lost the cow, that was a lot of pressure too. But I was really excited. Like, I tried to stay very focused and knew the cows, and I tried to my best, and it really worked out.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've mentioned a little bit about the Rizzler's such a special horse. Can you talk a little bit more on that? How he's so special and how you guys built that connection with him so quickly to be so successful?
I don't even know how it happened so fast. Like, I've been around him a lot, and his personality is so fun. Like, he's always trying to nibble, but not, like, in a bad biting way, just in, like, a, hey, what are you doing, you know? And he's just goofy and so friendly. Like, he just wants to be your friend there all the time. So, like, riding him, he just wants to please. And so, like, we worked the flag. It was good. And then I loped him around after a little bit, got the feel for him. And then that night we came and schooled for the reining, and he just felt me more and more, and it was easier and easier. And then we schooled the morning of the raining before, a couple hours before, and we were just on it. Like, we could just feel each other. We were connected. It was just easier. He, like, knew what I was asking. He just wants to be there for you. It was awesome.
That's so sweet. He sounds incredible. I love him from a distance. I don't think I'm alone in that. So obviously the snaffle bit for you showing the Rizzler, it wasn't planned. But typically, when you're getting ready for a big show, what is your training and preparation look like, you know, for both you and for your horse?
Our horses are normally, we try to keep them pretty in shape. Like, we have a treadmill and stuff, so they're pretty in shape all year, you know. And most of the horses I ride, they're pretty dang broke. Like, with me and my dad both riding them for a couple years, that they get pretty dang broke where they don't need to be rode six times a week, you know. So before a show, I ride them, like, it depends, but I ride them pretty consistently, a month and a half, 2 months before the show. Like, we start really focusing on what we're going to do and get ready to show. And yeah, I ride them, and my dad is always there to help. And yeah, that's kind of what we do.
Is there something, like, when you're picking out your next you know, derby horse or looking for the next horse to move on to, is there something that some traits specifically in those horses that you look for?
Not necessarily. Like the horses that I've shown, the opportunities have just kind of like fell into place. Like my bridal horse, I rode him a lot and I kind of knew him and I just fell in love with him really fast and stuff. And then my derby horse, he's six, so my dad can't derby him. He can only two rein him. And so my dad's like, well, I guess Tuli could show him. And then I have a brother to him by Dying for the Diamond, and they're super similar that I've shown. So my dad's like, well, you know him, so why don't you try a Sniper, my derby horse? And so they just, the horses that I get to ride, they just kind of fall in place and they do kind of fit my style, but it just kind of happens. It's all God's works, definitely.
No, absolutely. And let's talk a little bit about your style versus your dad's versus your brother's. Obviously, you guys all ride together. Are there some things that like really differentiate between you guys three as you're training next to each other?
Me, I definitely use my legs a lot more. Like I very rarely am pulling or using my hands a lot. Like I definitely am all leg. Like this morning, it was really fun. I just put the reins on the horn and I did a pattern on my derby horse because I was riding him in a bridle since he's six, and it was really fun. My dad was like, okay, well, you got your lead changes with the rein on the horn, let's try this. And it was really fun. It was kind of proved that I didn't really need my hands, so that was really fun. And then my dad, since he's obviously more higher level, he has his horses so in tune to him. Like they know what he's thinking, they know what he wants, and they want to please him, but not in like a overpowering way. They're just like, it's like a teamwork. It's really cool.
Yeah, that's so cool. My horse would be gone if I even thought about riding with her. She'd be gone. Oh, that's awesome. And you're a senior in high school, right?
Yes.
How are you balancing school with showing out at these levels? What are kind of like your plans for the next few years, both, you know, in the horse world and schooling? How are you managing that?
It's kind of like school's definitely kind of tough to manage because we ride so much and we work on the ranch so much that it kind of gets pushed to the side, definitely. Like my grandparents always say, don't let school get in the way of your education. So it definitely gets pushed to the side, but we try to always get it done and make time for it at night, or sometimes we have to ride earlier or just make time for it. And so that's kind of what we do with school. And then I don't know what the future really looks like for me. I'm just going to keep riding and graduate and then see what opportunities open up. And I don't know. I'm just kind of winging it for now, but I'm still going to.
Just winging it. I love it. Do you think will we see you in the Rizzler more together?
I don't know. I warmed him up yesterday and the day before for my dad, but I don't know. He's like my dad's heart horse. My dad loves him. Like people say he's mine, but he's really not. My dad, Riz has some big championships in his future with my dad. I feel it.
Yeah. I mean, the snaffle bit was so disappointing, especially coming off the Reno win.
Right.
But I mean, that horse has such an incredible future in front of him. So kind of to wrap us up, what is heading back, you know, into the show pen, what's one of your favorite parts about showing and, you know, the working cow horses and the classes and the boxing? What's your favorite part about it?
Oh, I'm very competitive. I really like the mental side of it, you know, like on the days that I haven't competed my best, that I notice my mind's like lost or I'm like thinking about it too much. So I'm like, every time I show, I really try to think about where my head was at the last time I did good or the last time I felt like I was really competitive. So I like that part. And then also just showing off my horse is really fun. Like when I'm showing, I always talk to my horse in a weird way, but like, I'm just like, okay, Riz, let's go. Like, okay, let's got this. Let's show you off. You know, like I just try to really break down the run in my head, and I like that mental side of it.
Yeah, no, for sure. We've talked a lot about the mental game on this podcast with riders from everything from the reining to the, you know, to the ranch events. The mental game is such an important piece of the puzzle, and that if you can't master that, or, you know, or have a good, you know, relationship with the mental side of things and good understanding, being successful in the show pen is very hard to do.
Yes, it's definitely something that it's like 90% in your head and then 10% the run, because the days you are in your head, you know you're not at your highest level and you can't be. Like, there's no way you can be. And so I always just try to lock that out. But it's hard because you can't think about locking that out too much, because then you're kind of like doubting your head a little bit. You just got to like shut it out, but be open to what's going to come. I don't know. It's crazy how the mind is.
Yeah. Do you have any like pre-show like traditions or superstitions or anything that you do to kind of work on that?
Not necessarily. Like, I just picture my run a lot in my head. I just, like, my dad always, when I went to, at the fraternity when I was showing Riz, he was like, how many runs have you made in your head? Have you made like 30 yet? I'm like, yeah, I'm working on it, because I just try to picture them, because your mind doesn't know the difference. And so that's what I do a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Tuli, I won't keep you for much longer. Thank you so much for hopping on with us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this was fun.
Thank you so much to Ride TV for sponsoring this episode.
Thank you guys for tuning into the Ride Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and please be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow Horse and Rider Magazine on social media and find us at horseandrider.com to see all the cool things that we're up to. And if you have any comments or questions, please be sure to hit us up at horseandrider@equinenetwork.com. We want to hear from you guys. And if you like what you're listening to, please be sure to leave us a review on iTunes.